堂听 class.com。
Acting with an accent, stage dialect instruction by David A. Stern. Instructional tape number 2, the Cockney dialect. Lesson 1, creating the resonance of the Cockney dialect. Before we actually look at the specific pronunciation changes, the vowel and consonant substitutions between the standard American and the Cockney dialects, we're first going to have a look at changes that take place in the overall resonance of the voice. The kind of sound change that we can really look at is a general alteration or configuration of the vocal tract or the oral cavity. Now, this is a change that is manifested not only on a limited number of clearly defined pronunciation substitutions, but throughout the entirety of the vocal utterance. Now, in my approach to dialect instruction, we look for a specific point, if you like, an imaginary point, in or around the oral cavity that represents the focal point for the vibration of the sound, the point where most of the energy seems to be concentrated during your speech. Now, shifting to the standard American dialect for a minute, in standard American, I use an imaginary point of focus which is approximately in the middle of my mouth, about halfway between tongue and palate, about halfway back in the cavity. Now, if you were to open your mouth, for example, and press one finger of each hand into the hollows of your cheeks, the point where those fingers and cheeks would come together in the middle, if the cheeks were flexible enough to permit that, that point where they meet would be the imaginary point of focus that I use in my own perception of the standard American dialect. But with the Cockney resonance, however, the point of focus is actually moved significantly back and up high in the oral cavity. The new point of maximum vibration sets itself really at a point which I locate near the back of the velum or soft palate, almost at the point where the velum turns into the uvula, or the hangy down part, or the flap in the back of the mouth where the throat begins. Exercise number 1 for Cockney resonance, imagining the point of focus. Now, in several of the exercises that I'm going to give you to establish this resonance focus high and in the back of the mouth, we're not actually, initially, here at the beginning, going to do any physical adjustment or alteration in the shape of the cavity. But we'll try first to have you imagine or will the sound back and up to that new point of Cockney focus or resonance. Now, this technique is enough for some people. It's all they need. But for a lot, it's not. So don't worry. In your case, if it doesn't work for you, we'll be adding several exercises momentarily which make very specific and significant changes in the position and configuration of the cavity. Now, the way I work this first exercise is to count numbers in groups of 3. First, giving the 3 counts in this midpoint resonance focus of the American dialect, and you repeat it after me. Then I shift up and back and count the same 3 numbers in the Cockney focus, and you repeat those, trying in this initial exercise only to experience the sense of vibration moving up to that point without thinking too much about any specific changes that you're going to make in the shape of the mouth. All right, let's try this now. Middle of the mouth, standard American resonance focus. 1, 2, 3. You repeat. Now, without doing anything but thinking it back, shifting conceptually, 1, 2, 3, thinking of that point on the back of the velum where it becomes the uvula. 1, 2, 3, you repeat. Back to the middle, 1, 2, 3, and shifting again to the new point of focus, 1, 2, 3. Now, as we move on to 4, 5, and 6, let me have you add one more phenomenon. As you imagine the energy moving to this new point of vibration, this new focus, actually try to feel added vibration in the same area, up on the velum-uvula juncture there. actually try to feel added vibration in that spot as you make the shift to the new resonance. So the phenomenon and the feeling of energy exists in the middle of the mouth on the standard American sound and shifts up and back to that point by the uvula velum, and you feel it in that point up high and in the back on the Cockney sound. Once again now, back to the middle of the mouth, sensing and imagining and feeling 4, 5, 6. And going back up to the new point, 4, 5, 6. And middle, 7, 8, 9. And back to the Cockney point, 7, 8, 9. And now the whole series, 1 to 10, both ways. Middle of the mouth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And with that new point of focus, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, I'm sure that many of you were not able to accomplish many great feats just by willing this focus to a different point. So exercise number 2 for the Cockney resonance starts to make some significant changes in the structuring of the mouth. The first thing you must do is generate a wider opening of the mouth, but not an opening in the front, not an opening between the front teeth or between the lips, but a wider opening in the back of the mouth, something you accomplish by lowering your tongue just a bit in the back, leaving the cavity wider open in the rear and up on top. Now, we'll go again counting 1, 2, 3 with the middle focus and then lowering the tongue and opening the back of the cavity for 1, 2, 3 just as well. All right, repeat after me then in the middle of the mouth focus. 1, 2, 3. Now just lower the tongue in the back and feel that, again, feel that point of vibration focusing up in that new point. Lowering, 1, 2, 3. Just open the back of the mouth. Don't think Cockney, just think open the back. Now back to the middle, 4, 5, 6. And lowering the tongue and opening the back again, 4, 5, 6. Now, sometimes you can get this feeling by separating the back teeth or the molar teeth rather than the front. So going again back to center, 7, 8, 9. And going once more to the upper back, lowering the tongue, opening the back teeth, 7, 8, 9. Don't worry about distorting it a little bit at this point. Go right ahead, 7, 8, 9. That's fine. Now let's do the whole series again, 1 to 10. Both ways, you integrate all of these things together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now integrating everything, sensing the point back, imagining it back, feeling vibration back, separating the back teeth, lowering the back of the tongue. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And just very quickly now to contrast it on letters of the alphabet. A, B, C, D. Opening the back. A, B, C, D. And E, F, G, H. And E, F, G, H. All right. Exercise number 3 for the Cockney resonance goes a bit far. It is primarily for those of you who are still having a great deal of difficulty in sensing the placement of this high rear resonance from the previous exercises. Now, I call this the gulping exercise. The gulping exercise. And we literally have you gulp at the sound. Just as you see some small animals gulping at a flying insect who happens by its head. Now, the best way I can do this is really by example of what it sounds like. Now, if I say one in the middle of my mouth, and then contrast that with a gulping one. I imagine seeing the number one right in front of my face. Then I literally open my mouth and gulp at that image of the number one. Gulp, one. And then swallow. As if you're trying to catch the image in your mouth and swallow it. Two. I see it, the image there, and then boom. So there's a rather drastic dropping of the jaw, and you're doing a lot of opening of the mouth. Got to be very careful with this one. Three, and then three. And as I hinted before, it might even help you to literally imitate the animal catching the insect by slightly thrusting your head forward and gulping at the image and swallowing right after you say the sound. Four.
Four.
Five.
Five.
You might even hear my teeth snapping together. That's not part of the dialect, but that happens sometimes when we do this gulping. Now, I warned you that this exercise goes a bit far. Be careful, please. Don't be too terribly aggressive with your head movements and jaw movements here. Be fluid, even in this lunge gulp exercise. We're not looking to put a lot of tension into the instrument and hurt your jaw or throat. In fact, I'll be talking in a few minutes much more about not hurting your throat on the Cockney resonance, on the Cockney dialect. So let's do just one sound at a time now, doing a gentle gulping of the sound. Start again with the middle of the mouth focus. One.
One.
Two.
Two.
Three.
Three.
And if you could see me right now, you'd see that I'm literally doing that slight, gentle lunge of my head forward into the position of trying to catch that fly in my mouth. Four.
Four.
Five.
Five.
Six.
Six.
And again, swallowing after each one. Now, this exercise shouldn't be overdone, as I said. As soon as you begin to get the feeling of opening the back of the cavity or moving the point of resonance focus back to the back of the velum, go back to the earlier exercises for the majority of your practice in the Cockney resonance. This gulping exercise does require significantly more mouth and jaw movement than you actually have to do when you're speaking the dialect. So finishing up with the old sequence, the remainder of the sequence up to 10. 7, 8, 9, 10. And 7, 8, 9, 10. A brief word here I'd like to say about nasality. Some people vehemently claim that Cockney is a very nasalised dialect. Nothing could be further from the truth. Most of the vowel sounds in Cockney do not actually spill their phonated air out through the nose like this. They don't do that. In fact, you can actually hold your nose on vowels and still get that Cockney resonance by saying Now I'm holding my nose, as you can hear right now. I'm actually holding it. It's interfering with the nasal consonants. But if I simply switch to vowels in Cockney, you hear E-E-A-A-A with no interference. Now, if the Cockney were actually taking on a total nasality, you would hear, by holding your nose, E-E-A-A-A with the nose closed. Now, there is an occasional slight nasal assimilation in Cockney after the M or the N or the G, the NG sound, which does sometimes spill over onto the next vowel, such as in my neighbour or the new morning. Just as you occasionally hear an assimilated nasal vowel in the standard British dialect. But don't be fooled into doing a pervasive nasality, overly nasal on the Cockney, because if you do this, the chances are that you're not going to be taken for a Cockney, you're going to be taken for an Australian, or a New Zealander, or a South African, or a Rhodesian, but certainly not for a Cockney, right? Exercise number four for the Cockney resonance is one which is really to safeguard against your air and your throat by pulling back the resonance too far or too vigorously. Now, if you're too aggressive, if you try to place the sound too deeply down in your throat, instead of in the eye back of the oral cavity, you're likely to lower your larynx and press your vocal folds together with much too much pressure, potentially swelling them or even injuring them. Remember that this dialect still has its point of focus in the mouth, not way back here in the throat like this, as I'm doing now with the pharynx walls tightened up and the larynx pressing down and the vocal folds being pressed much too hard together. Now let's, for a short period of time, do a slight P piece of negative practice, with you contrasting very briefly that pulled back sound too far and tensing up a bit so that you can clearly feel what it is that you need to do to avoid the rest of your work in this tape and in your performance of Cockney getting a little bit too aggressive. So let's go back just one more time to the counting exercise, contrast this tense, throaty version of Cockney resonance with the normal I oral rear sound that we've tried to cultivate earlier in the tape. All right, tightening and pulling back slightly, not too much. I don't want you to hurt yourself when learning how not to hurt yourself, okay? So, slightly back. One, two, three. And back where it belongs. One, two, three. And now pull back a little more. Four, five, six, tensed. And again, normal Cockney. Four, five, six. You can hear it's not throaty at all. A little too tight again. Seven, eight, nine. And back to the right place. Seven, eight, nine. The old sequence. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. And back to the eye rear part of the cavity with the teeth separated and the back of the tongue down. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. But still in the mouth. You do that now. Good. Now be careful. Don't hurt yourself. Before we leave this concept of Cockney resonance, I want to look at a few words and sentences that contain sounds which some teachers say change to completely different pronunciation between Cockney and American. I don't agree. I believe that the basic phoneme remains the same, but that the only change is accounted for by the shift in the resonance. So let's do a few sentences which contain some of these sounds that change in resonance only, not really complete phoneme substitutions. Now, I'll say the sentence, you repeat them after me in standard American, then I'll shift to Cockney, and you repeat doing all that you've just learned to establish this Cockney resonance, the shifting, the sensing, the opening, all of it. Okay, first sentence, I'll do it first in American. The book is in the desk. Now shifting, gulping a little, the book is in the desk. The cat is down on the ground. The cat is down on the ground. The boy went around the town. The boy went around the town. And with this, we end the lesson on the resonance of the Cockney dialect. Cockney lesson number 2, phoneme substitutions related to the Cockney resonance. We're now going to get a bit specific with the pronunciation changes between American and Cockney. But as I indicated before, instead of looking at all of the sound changes at once, we're now going to look at changes in vowels, which I consider to grow directly out of or to assimilate closely into this resonance change. Now, it's different from the exercises that we were just doing right now, where you only altered resonance on certain of those sounds. Yeah, the vowels literally do change to other vowels. But there are many of these changes which are simply further extensions of the resonance shift or can best be learned when they're done along with the Cockney shift. Now, the first one is the change of the vowel E, as in see or reach. Now, this one actually changes to a diphthong with the U sound in front of the E. And it actually comes out E, 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 E. Now, without the Cockney resonance, this would actually sound ridiculous. It would sound like E. Here, for example, would be H-ear. Ear, ear. But now with the Cockney resonance added, we actually hear here, even though I'm going to leave the H on this time. Here, here, here. Now with the resonance we've established, it assimilates right into the resonance of the Cockney dialect beautifully, and it sounds like a very natural sound within the context of the dialect, not like a studied, memorized sound substitution. Now, you can also see that if the tongue is moving up and back to the position that we want it to assume for the cochlear resonance, that it must move through the middle of the mouth, the mid-central position of the R vowel, before it reaches the I front placement of the E. So you get a E, 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 E. Not A, but E. All right, individual word list. Again, I'll say them with the American resonance and pronunciation. You repeat. I'll shift to the Cockney resonance and pronunciation, and you repeat that too. Each. Each. Agree. Agree. Cheat. Cheat. Achieve. Achieve. Equal. Equal. Remember, get it out of the resonance. Don't just say a-e. Sentences B. Please cease to creep through the Garden of Eden. Please cease to creep through the Garden of Eden. If you go too far with it, it will sound like an A. Aiden. It's not Aiden. It's Eden. 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 Just right out of that resonance. Next one, C. For tea, meat and cheese were served under the tree. For tea, meat and cheese were served under the tree. D. Steve went to pieces because he was so green with envy. Steve went to pieces because he was so green with envy. Now, the second of the vowel changes involves the oo sound, as in moon or truth. Now, this is very similar to the E, taking the a sound before it. So you get a oo, 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 oo. Again, it sounds very awkward without the resonance. Shift it back and up, and you'll not only have a more fluid vowel change, you'll be halfway to the vowel just by doing the resonance. All right, here we go. Word list A. Moon, moon. Truth, truth. Gloomy, gloomy. You can really hear those two stages. Gloomy, gloomy. Prove, prove. Flute, flute. B. I always knew that cool prunes were never blue. I always knew that cool prunes were never blue. C. The gloomy June moon moves fools to loons. The gloomy June moon moves fools to loons. And D. At 2 past noon, we heard hooves on the roof of the room. At 2 past noon, we heard hooves on the roof of the room. Now, the third of these resonance-oriented vowel changes is on the A vowel, as in gate or age, which in Cockney moves into the I. But it isn't just a case of making the sound substitution, like from able to eyeball. It's again a case of letting the sound grow naturally out of that resonance that you should already be doing, opening the back of the cavity, which will automatically pull the tongue a little bit lower and down toward the I position instead of the A. All right, as before, American first, then we'll contrast Cockney. Word list, A, able, eyeball. Greatest, greatest. Played, plied. Neighbor, neighbor. Famous, famous. Sentences B, the flaky neighbor made a face at the baby. The flaky neighbor made a face at your baby. Again, get it right out of the resonance. C. The fateful delay in rainfall placed a great weight on Nathan's shoulders. The fateful delay in rainfall placed a great weight on Nathan's shoulders. And D. The ailing aviator chased the victory for its own sake. The ailing aviator chased the victory for its own sake. Now, the fourth of these resonance-oriented sound changes takes the sound I, as it appears in American English, and rounds it into oi.
Now, this one doesn't grow quite as automatically out of the cochlear resonance placement, because the rounding of the oi seems to stretch the mouth forward. But again, it is one which comes fluidly and naturally only if it's assimilated into this clear high back oral resonance. Without that resonance, it would be very forced indeed. For example, bright, broit, light, loit. With the cavity open in the back at the same time that the lips are changing from unrounded to rounded, though, we go fluidly forward and we get bright, bright, light, light, as we did before. Okay, word list, American first. A, bright, bright. Time, time. Eliza, Eliza. Writer, writer. Widest, widest. Sentences, B. It's the right time to find a gold mine in the sky.
It's the right time to find a gold mine in the sky.
C. The sight of dry land made for an exciting ending to the flight.
Remember, you're going forward and rounding, but you're opening the cavity in back. The sight of dry land made an exciting ending to the flight.
And D, a life of violent crime has become a depressing sign of the times.
A life of violent crime has become a depressing sign of the times.
This one can be either stronger or weaker, depending upon the intensity of the Cockney dialect that you're doing. The next major change takes the sound O, O, and changes it into a triphthong.
Ah, oh, ooh. Ow, ow, ow. That famous sound from Pygmalion or My Fair Lady that Eliza did. Ow, even's what annoys, right?
With the tongue lowering, the resonance partly accounting for that sound ah being uttered before the tongue can return to its normal O, American O, placement, all right? We now have a triphthong or three-stage vowel beginning with ah. Word list. Oaken,
Oaken,
lone,
loun,
staccato,
staccato,
stone,
stone,
slowly,
slowly.
Sentence B. Long ago, people slept on the cold earth.
Long ago, people slept on the cold earth.
C. Slowly, the ocean waves rolled toward the homes.
Slowly the ocean waves rolled toward the homes.
And D, the oboe and cello sat alone, woefully echoing tone for tone.
The oboe and cello sat alone, woefully echoing tone for tone.
Now, the last two vowel changes we're going to do are throwbacks, or holdovers, to the British vowel substitutions, where the resonance thrusted forward rather than back. There's a slight difference here. The first one is the R sound. And by the way, right now we'll look at R's that don't come before the letter R. We'll look at the others later. Whereas in British, you would go from obstinate to obstinate, from odd to odd, where you would go from an unrounded R sound to a slightly rounded R sound. Now in Cockney, we're still going to round slightly, R, but once again we'll incorporate the Cockney resonance by opening the back of the cavity. So we'll get not opera, American, not opera, British, but opera, opera, where the cavity opens up in the back at the same time that the lips round forward into that new sound. All right, here we go. A. Obstinate,
obstinate.
Odd,
odd.
Quality,
quality.
Aqua,
aqua.
B. Mr. Roberts threw the potted palm into the balmy deep.
Mr. Roberts threw the potted palm into the balmy deep.
C. Tommy is a rock opera.
Tommy is a rock opera.
The lips come forward, but you still go into the back top for the resonance. D. He fled from the swampy bog and stopped on the rocks. He fled from the swampy bog and stopped on the rocks. Now, the very last of the resonance changes, and the second of these that are throwbacks to the British forward thrust, is the R sound, which is a much more intensified and tightly rounded sound in British. Or, and becomes even more tensified and tightly rounded in Cockney as you thrust the lips forward, but again, still keep the Cockney resonance by opening the back of the cavity. Or, word list. Pause, lips forward, back of the cavity open. Brought, important, across. Sentences, B. The cat crawled across the lawn. The cat crawled across the lawn. C. The quarterback stalked the ball. The quarterback stalked the ball. D. The tall author stormed toward the North Pole. The tall author stormed toward the North Pole. And before going on, you might want to review these a few more times. But for now, that's the end of the lesson, integrating sound changes or pronunciation changes into the Cockney resonance.